Welcome. Today we'll listen to two of Mozart's finest concertos. I'm Brian. I would like to introduce you to these concertos in such a way that I think you will not easily forget about them or about the concerto format. We start off by discussing the fingerprints of Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 21, which we listened to last week. And I would like you to remember that these points will also apply to both concertos of today's extended program. By asking really nicely and promising simply amazing music, my producer has agreed to allow us to have about 10 extra minutes to fit in both concertos. So, the fingerprints from Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 21. Well, of course, first and foremost is his beautiful and memorable melodies. That second movement is very widely known and is completely seductive. The next thing is Mozart's sound is not dense, not too many different things happening all at the same time. Regarding structure, Mozart adhered to classical forms, such as the sonata or ternary or rondo forms. His music is known for clarity and transparency. Each musical line in that concerto is well defined, allowing the listener to easily follow the various voices and instruments. And of course, especially that second movement, it has a wide range of emotions. Mozart's music contains elements of wit, humor, and playfulness, which was evident in that concerto. We will have a look at them again in today's work. That concerto spanned a very wide emotional range, typical of Mozart, from joyful, exuberant, to seductive. But at all times, Mozart doesn't take his music to the extremes of romantic sound of the 19th century composers. At all times, it remains within the boundaries of good classical taste. The orchestra was of a modest size and sound, if we were to compare it to those of the following romantic period. Mozart is a master of variations. It was evident in the first movement when he started to develop the themes. I did ask you to listen to the concerto from last week again, so I won't repeat it today. Instead, I'm going to use his concerto number 23 in A major to once again illustrate the same points, as well as talk about the classical structures that Mozart used in his major works, and in this case, specifically in his concertos. These structures, the symphony and the concerto, were well known in Mozart's day, and the audiences of the day expected them, and they remained the staple of longer and multi-movement works throughout at least the next century. For the audiences, the delight of the known and expected form was hearing the multitude of different possibilities that these opened up for the composer in terms of melody, harmony, tonality, variations, and expressiveness. To refer back to the binary form that we spoke of in earlier programs, remember that the A section was always repeated. The objective was to give the listener two opportunities to become familiar with the themes of the music. In the first movement of concertos, that is also done, and there are at least two themes as well. One called the first subject, which is on the home key, and the second called the second subject, which is usually in the dominant key. This tradition of two themes continues in all the other kinds of multi-movement works, and in the concerto form it is very easy to identify, because it is usual for the orchestra to play the first presentation of both of the themes, and then for the soloist to join in and play the repeat. Sometimes the repeat is almost the same, and sometimes it is varied, but the composition always presents the two main themes to the listener twice. You will hear this very clearly in the concerto that I'm going to play next. After the first part, which is called the exposition, and it is played twice, a section follows which takes the material and starts to embellish it into other keys, other registers, and other instruments, combining melodies or occasionally introducing new materials. This section is called the development. This is a favorite part for listeners who paid attention to the repeated opening, because here the skill of the composer, often combined with Mozart's sense of humor, shows how adventurous he can become. Passages consisting of scale-like passages and broken chords played higher on each repeat or lower on each repeat are very much a part of Mozart's style, as are frequent changes to other major and minor keys. After this development section, the main themes reappear as a recapitulation, but they remain in the home key. Another feature that you will hear in the concerto after the recapitulation of the themes is the cadenza. This is a virtuoso passage for the soloist alone, and it occurs right near the end of the first movement, and sometimes also in other movements. In this piano concerto, it appears only in the first movement, and it was written by Mozart himself, so the performer is obliged to use it. In the concerto of last week, the cadenza appeared in the first and third movements, and it was not written by Mozart. The soloist in Mozart's day was expected to create his own cadenza or improvise one based on the music played so far. There are literally a dozen or more cadenzas written by other people, and it's not at all unusual in a concert today to hear a performer play his or her own cadenza. The cadenza needs to be based on material from the movement and remain in the style of the movement. I've heard some really far-out cadenzas that were totally inappropriate. Although this cadenza is the opportunity for the soloist to show his or her skill, it is not intended to do so at the expense of the remainder of the concerto by disrupting Mozart's style. Then the movement closes, usually for the orchestra alone, although many soloists choose to play along. I will be playing the entire concerto of three movements, but I'm only going to say this about the other two movements. The second movement, as per tradition, is a slow movement. This one is in ternary form. It's a masterpiece of melodic variation. It's easily as seductive as the one from last week. The third movement, which is the final movement as per tradition for concertos in Mozart's time, is a type of rondo. So please listen for the opening theme to reappear at least three times. So here goes. These are the main points. Watch for the double exposition, first with orchestra and then with the soloist with orchestra. Listen for the playful development, the recapitulation of the themes, and the cadenza. Then a thoroughly seductive slow movement, and a bright and lively last movement where the opening theme reappears three times. So Mozart's Piano Concerto in A major, K488. Thank you.
Thank you.
next up is Mozart's Clarinet Concerto in A major. Yes, that's the same key as the piano concerto. This is one of Mozart's happy keys, along with E-flat major and C major. In the context of the doctrine of affections, each musical key was believed to have its own inherent emotional qualities, and composers used these keys deliberately to evoke specific emotions or moods in their compositions. A major, with its bright and open character, was often seen as a key suitable for expressing joy, celebration, and positive emotions. The clarinet had already been in existence for several decades before Mozart's time, but Mozart recognized its potential for expressive and beautiful music, and he composed some of the most appreciated works for the instrument. Mozart's innovative and expressive use of the clarinet in his compositions contributed to the instrument's growing popularity in the late 18th century, and eventually it became an integral part of the classical orchestra. His work with the clarinet helped lay the foundation for its continued prominence in classical and orchestral music in the centuries that followed. Please take all of my remarks concerning the piano concerto that we heard and apply them here as well. The structure is the same except that there is no cadenza. Now that you've experienced the concerto structure at least once, feel the joy and delight and recognizing Mozart's playfulness and genius as he teases us with the themes. So, here goes again. The main points, watch for the double exposition, first with orchestra and then the soloist with orchestra, the playful development, the recapitulation of the themes but without a cadenza, and then a thoroughly seductive slow movement, and a bright and lively fast movement where the opening theme reappears at least three times. So, Mozart's Clarinet Concerto in A major, K622. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's the end of our program for today. Please let me remind you of my contact details and where to find information in case you missed something that you would like to hear or read again. All of this program, as well as all the previous programs, is available for you on the website, where you will also find links to the music we heard and other information. It is www.gsaradio.stream. Please remember that if you have any questions or comments, you are welcome to write to me at brian@gsaradio.stream. My own webpage, where you can read these as transcripts, is available at https://about-music-2020b2b.co.za. So that's all for this week. Until next week, goodbye.